A little over 14% of students in high school consider suicide, and approximately 7% of them attempt suicide. Students that are bullied are around 2 to 9 times more likely to consider suicide than non-victims. Today, on the Shame Free Life Radio and Network channel, we're going to have a painful, necessary, yet upfront conversation concerning when bullying leads to suicide.
Today is about the power of you.
We can be whatever we dream.
You're locked into another episode of 15 Minutes of Shame. Each week, we'll help you rebuild your life one brick at a time by addressing real life issues from a practical and biblical perspective.
I had to believe in myself like never before.
This is the Shame Free Radio Show.
Finding the solution to become the greatest.
And now your host, minister, author, grief and trauma support specialist, Dr. Ronald Zion Roseboro.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Good evening, good evening, good morning, good night, wherever you are around the globe, coast to coast, from the East Coast to the Left Coast. You're locked inside of another installment on the Shame Free Life Network. I am your host, Ronald Zion. It's a pleasure to be back with you once again. Even under these particular circumstances, this is where we are right now in life and in society. However, we are called to make a difference wherever we go, unapologetically, and this is what we're doing. I want to thank so many of the, from the grassroots media that are all over this particular story that we're getting ready to delve into. I want to thank Tariq Nasheed. I want to thank Urban X Podcast, and of course, Lioness Crown, and so many others that are all over this, and I'm over this as well, because this is what we do. We're talking about bullying that leads to suicide. And you already heard the statistics, but I want to put a face to the reality of this statistic. And I want to enter into the room Izzy Tishnor. She's referred to as Izzy. Her name is Isabel. Isabel Tishnor from Utah. And how her life was cut short at 10 years of age. Not even in the spring of her life, let alone the summer of her life. And she took her life because of the trauma of bullying. You know, as we begin to look at this particular case, that heads need to roll. Because not only was young Isabel or Izzy bullied by students, but also by teachers. The teachers that are supposed to protect the students, teachers that are supposed to conduct themselves in an orderly manner and govern themselves with professionalism. And so after being bullied day after day after day and ingesting and digesting the traumatic reality of being bullied, of not being enough, and not just because of autism, but just being different. Not just because of autism, but also because of the color of her skin, the pigmentation of her skin, and those that lacked that royal reality of the pigmentation of her skin took it upon themselves to berate her and to push her to the point where she did not return. So this is a clarion call, and this has been going on for a long time, to my understanding and according to my research of Foxborough Elementary in North Salt Lake, that there have been hundreds of accounts of bullying taking place in that school that the Davis School District failed miserably in addressing. So I would encourage you, before we even get into several other supporting factors around this school, but that community specifically in Utah, that I want to encourage you to call Foxborough Elementary School. You can Google it, in Utah, in North Salt Lake, Utah. I want you to call the Department of Justice that have already deemed this as being, you know what, this girl was, she took her life because she was pushed to the edge because of the trauma of bullying. Call the Department of Justice to see exactly where we are with this case. Call Foxborough School to let them know not only do you have zero tolerance for bullying, but what are you going to do about it? Because we're not going to let this ride. Now, here is this young girl, young, beautiful sister. And I have a problem with injustice. I don't care who you are, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're a dog, whether you're a cat, whatever. But I have a serious problem when it becomes a general practice that is not only condoned, but is justified. And so I want to kind of just walk with me, if you can, because even though that we know that bullying goes on every single where, not only in the urban community, in the suburbs, in the rural parts of America, but we also have cyberbullying. We have bullying that's taking place on Facebook. We have bullying that's taking place on Twitter and other type of social media venues and platforms where bullying is taking place, where our youth are losing their lives by taking their lives. Not even on the planet to walk in their purpose, to fulfill it, that everyone can reap the benefits of their presence. Now their presence are no longer here. But I want to talk to you about the community specifically, since we've put a face on this bullying and the suicide as a result of the bullying that was trauma induced. Now, when we talk about the dynamics of trauma, and this means a lot to us as it relates to the shame-free life and dealing with trauma recovery coaching, that trauma has so many different characteristics, just to name a few. I mean, there's sleep deprivation. I mean, there is obviously there's depression, low self-esteem, self-hatred, self-rejection, mutilating, cutting oneself. And so when we look at these dynamics, it is a perfect storm, not perfect in the sense of greatness, but a perfect storm or recipe for a suicide to take place. Now, I want to again look at that specific community in Salt Lake, Utah. And I want to talk about the entire state of Utah. That I wonder how many individuals that are there. And I want to set this disclaimer before anybody try to take anything and run. Because if we have hundreds of cases of bullying taking place in that particular school district, Foxborough being within that school district of people of color, black people, Latinos, etc., Native Americans, there seems to be a serious problem. A serious cultural problem in that particular, not just community, but in that particular state. So when we look at the backdrop, I wonder how many of those individuals that call themselves God-fearing or believers, servants of God, that are either participating in the bullying of these children that lead to self-mutilation, self-hatred, self-rejection, or ultimately suicide, or how many of these so-called God-fearing people that are sitting back, seeing it take place, witnessing it, but saying absolutely nothing. I say that if you are silent, then you are the worst perpetrator. So many of these people within these school districts, they called themselves Mormons. Okay? They called themselves Mormons. And the founder of the Mormon religion, of course, is Joseph Smith, who many refer to him as a so-called prophet, who had these wild, grandiose dreams of speaking one-on-one with the Most High, though he claims in the Book of Mormon. But also, did you realize that this particular religion, if you will, that many in that particular place are a part of? Now, I'm coming here for a reason, because those who, whether I agree with your religion or not, is immaterial and irrelevant. Because I understand who I am. I'm a Hebrew. But for the sake of the conversation, since the Mormons are all about doing right, since the Mormons are all about family and promoting family values, where are you on this? Where is your position on this as it relates to those who are a part of your community and could very well be a part of your religious sect that are guilty as sin, as being either perpetrators of this crime or a participator by way of silence and saying nothing when they see it? So when we look at the life of Joseph Smith, who by all intents and purposes proved to be out of his mind, yet claimed that he had these revelations of God. But a lot of people don't realize that he was not only a Freemason, but he founded the Masonic Lodge in 1842 in Nauvoo, Illinois. And he also incorporated Freemasonry into the Mormon religion, that you can go into the Mormon temple and see the all-seeing eye of Horus. You can also see their handshake, the Mormon handshake, which is identical to the Freemasonry handshake. He also incorporated a lot of dark sorcery into the Book of Mormon that is not an alternative to the Bible, so they say, but is a supplement. So here is the backdrop of the founder of this particular religion that carries a huge population in the state of Utah. So again, if you are about family values, if you are about promoting family, if you are about doing what's right, my question is, since this is the pervasive religion in your state, in your city, in your county, in your community, what are you doing about this? Since this has been going on long before young Izzy Tishnor took her life, these accounts of bullying have existed in manifold proportions, yet nothing has been done about it. Not one thing. So now we have a life that was taken, and now everyone wants to do damage control. But on the Shame Free Life Network, we're not doing any damage control. Now we bringing receipts and we bringing that heat. Now, I want to play something for you as it relates to the Book of Mormon, not necessarily the Book of Mormon, but just the Mormon's belief system. Because there's methods to, and there is no method, no madness. There's just methods to my greatness that the Most High has downloaded. Because if these type of bullies have existed for quite some time, affecting black children, affecting brown children, affecting red children, there is a underlying a belief system that promotes this kind of behavior, and to justify it as being right when it is dead wrong. So we're going to take a look right after we have this, right after we have this this commercial break, and we're going to jump right into what do the Mormons believe that is the pervasive religion in that community, in that county, city, and state that would give us an understanding of why they believe that taunting, that abusing, misusing black children is okay when it is far from okay. Let's just take a break. We'll be right back. Have you considered continuing your education? Or do you find yourself, like so many, sidetracked by life, fear, or maybe even excuses? Well, I've come to tell you that there is absolutely no perfect time than right now. Time is ticking away. So get your degree today. Rehoboth International Bible College is an accredited university designed to meet your higher biblical education needs. Simply go to RehobothInternationalBibleCollege.com or call 866-235-0812 extension 0. You are an investment, so it is past time for you to reap the dividends. Rehoboth International Bible College. All right, now we're back. So let's jump right into it as far as facts about what do the Mormons believe. Let's cue this up and let's check this out so we can have a greater understanding. I'm not saying acceptance or tolerance at all, because we don't tolerate wickedness, but we promote justice. And so let's just dive right into this. I'm going to cue this up so we can take a listen.
Taught racism against blacks for nearly 150 years. It taught that there was a rebellion in heaven between Lucifer and the Council of the Gods. There were three groups of spirit children involved in this conflict. One sided with Lucifer, one sided with the gods, and the third remained neutral. Those that remained neutral gained the displeasure of God the Father, and as a result were cursed to be born with black skin here on earth. This excluded black Mormons from holding the LDS priesthood position or entering the Mormon temple. Brigham Young, the second and so-called prophet of the LDS Church, even went so far as to say that the penalty for bearing interracial children is death. However, because of this racist teaching, the LDS Church experienced heavy political pressure. Therefore, on June 8, 1978, LDS President Spencer W. Kimball, after spending many hours in the upper room of the LDS Temple, supposedly received a revelation from God and claimed that God had removed the curse. All worthy black men could now receive the priesthood.
Now, isn't this amazing? There you have it. The LDS call themselves Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. They go with that title instead of the Mormons because of obviously how the Mormon was founded. I always heard that wherever a tree falls, that's where it lies. Right there in that spot. So you can change the name of a movement, but if the foundation is still the same, then regardless of the name change, that is your identification. You are a racist. You are a devil, though you claim to be an angel, but you are a demon. And so we have it here, that the very premise and the principles, moreover the foundation of the Mormon religion, is rooted and grounded in racism, all types of bigotry, and also satanic principles. And so therefore, So now I can understand why you would think that abusing children, harassing, taunting, bullying children that are black is okay with you, because your very principle and foundation from your demon prophet, Joseph Smith, says that black people are cursed and they have no souls. This is the same demon that said that Yeshua, Jesus, and Lucifer are brothers.
God, today.
You mean to tell me that your belief system says that Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, is brothers with the devil? Well, I say that you are the devil. And so to have that kind of belief system ingrained in a systemic religion, that black people have no souls and that black people are cursed, and that was a foundational belief for 150 years, passed down from generation to generation through practices and belief systems that were enacted not only in religion, but also some of the same individuals through legislations. Because we understand that they have a stronghold not only on religion, but also on legislation. And now we see also when it comes to education. So therefore, again, to have that kind of belief system about black people bullying a black child that would lead to her suicide is such a small thing to you. So this is very disheartening on so many fronts, but it shows us, as Martin Luther King said, that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And so the challenge is, those who claim that, those Mormons who claim that they are pro-family, well, you just had a young child to end her life, and now her family is in mourning. She's no longer physically a part of her family. She was ripped from her family. Yes, at her own hands, but prompted by your children's hands, and prompted by your auntie's hands, and prompted by your mama's hands. And so, therefore, it's incumbent unto us to understand trauma, to be able to diagnose it, but also to put a stop to it. And so I believe that this is where boots on the ground is so important. It is essential. It's vitally important that we become involved in our children's lives. Involved. If you don't, hey, I don't have any children. Fine. Someone look up to you. Someone looks up to you as an adult. Someone looks up to you as a bigger brother, bigger sister, or a mother, a father, an uncle, to protect our youth. To protect our youth from the likes of the enemy and from the children of the devil. So I'm not going to fall for that. Well, listen, you know, the burden falls on the community to help. No, on everyone. Because that educational system, the Davis School District, failed Izzy. The entire staff failed Izzy. The so-called religious community failed Izzy. So now we want to see what is going to be done about this. Not just sit on our hands or protesting. Those days are over. The protesting now is in your actions, not in your feet. not in marching, but pulling down the strongholds. What we are instructed to do as people of the Most High. Because it's right here in Scripture, in Proverbs 13 and 23, that the fallow ground of the poor yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. The Most High has a problem with injustice. Yehoshua himself, Jesus had a problem with injustice, and that's the reason why he met it head on, rebuking the demon-like Pharisees. So those of us who say that we follow the same protocol and principle from the Most High, then we ought to have the same mindset. And so again, I encourage you, I encourage myself, pass this along to someone. Don't let this broadcast just be another broadcast. Pass it along to someone that we must be advocates for our children. Pass this along to someone that, listen, there's just some things that we're not going to tolerate. And it's very easy to put on your sneakers and protest and all of that. I'm not shooting it down and saying that it's wrong, but it's counterproductive if we're not going to become actively involved in making a demand on something. Making a demand as it relates to justice, making a demand as it relates to that these people who failed her and covered up so many other abuse cases, harassment cases, bullying cases, these people need to be fired immediately. Individuals that saw this taking place and did nothing about it, the teacher that bullied young Izzy, she needs prison time. Yes, I said it.
God, today.
She needs to be locked up in prison. The principal who did nothing, you, sir, or you, ma'am, you need some jail time.
God, today.
So it's time to become actively involved. And that's what I love about the Most High. He is calling us to not just, yes, pray, but listen, even James said, the brother of Yeshua, faith without works is dead. You show me your faith without your works, and I'm going to show you my faith by my works. So what is works? Boots to the ground. What is works? Hey, listen, making sure that I'm going to hold you accountable for your own madness. I'm going to hold you accountable for the wickedness that you do. Because I am commissioned by the Most High to pull down every vain imagination and to pull down strongholds. And your stronghold over the community, your stronghold over the school system, your stronghold over legislations, your stronghold as it relates to covering up wickedness is over. And before we head out, we have another commercial break, and we're going to get right back to it. Have you ever felt alone and life is out of control? Perhaps like a sailboat at sea in the midst of a tsunami. Well, you're not alone. Here at the Shame Free Life LLC, we offer services in trauma recovery, crisis intervention, and empowerment coaching. We operate in integrity, confidentiality, empathy with coaching ethics. Contact us at theshamefreelife.com or email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible for your healing. Let us help you rebuild your life one brick at a time, because your life begins when you say so. Trauma is so real. It is so real and it is so raw, especially when you're dealing with complicated grief. and not just acute trauma, but in young Izzy Tishnor's case, chronic trauma. Trauma that lasts for a long time. Can you relate to me? Can you relate to something that happened to you that was very traumatic? Perhaps it was an acute trauma. We're still painting the picture of young Izzy Tishnor. Have you ever been in a car accident? Let's just use this as a classic example. A car accident that was very violent. A car accident that sent you to not just the ER, but the OR. Perhaps you were in a coma. Perhaps you had multiple surgeries. Perhaps you found yourself in critical condition, not expecting to make it. But the Most High said, not so. I still have something for you to do. But even though you were taken out of the OR, taken out of a critical situation and placed in a regular room, you still had rehabilitation before you. You were placed in rehab. So now you have physical therapists. So the accident that took place, that happened 2 months ago, you're still feeling the effects of it now by going through rehabilitation, by going through physical therapy. And once you are released from the hospital, once you are released from physical therapy, maybe you still have the after effects of the accident that took place, not just 2 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. You're still having migraines, still having flashbacks, still having sleepless nights, sleep deprivation. So what is that? That is trauma. And so that's chronic trauma that came out of an acute trauma. The acute trauma happened instantly. I mean, just instantly, the car accident. But that trauma carried over into months, into years, and beyond. So this is why it's so important for us to become involved in the affairs of one another, to make sure one another that we're okay, and to check someone that is responsible for evoking, promoting trauma in the life of someone else. And finally, I say this and I digress. It's just amazing to me. And I don't make any apologies or anything that I say. I say what I say, and that's that. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. There it is. And what? And we back it up by scripture. But isn't it like religion? Isn't it like religion to come up with a satanic doctrine of where you look down on others and you classify others who don't look like you as being cursed, as not having a soul, as being subhuman? Isn't it like religion to use this as a platform of supremacy? Well, in fact, they are inferior themselves who do this, who practice this, who believe this. So, until next time, I always say it, I will continue to say it. Your life begins when you say so. And I want you to be the light in the midst of darkness unapologetically.
Thank you for joining us on the Shame Free Life Radio Show for 15 Minutes of Shame. Follow us on IG and Twitter at Shame Free Life. For information on promoting your business with us, contact us at theshamefreelife@gmail.com. Until next time, your life begins when you say so.